time to talk to Netsi, and we are talking about sweeteners today, artificial and others. Netsi, very good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Wayne.
And thanks for joining me today. And Netsi, the topic today, we're talking about artificial sweeteners, and the name that pops up, aspartame. And the question is, sweet or bitter? I'll leave it up to you to tell us more.
Yes, so with artificial sweeteners, there's many different versions of artificial sweeteners on the market. But today I thought, let's speak about aspartame, because I think this is one of the sweeteners that maybe may have a bad name, and people might have perceptions about it that might be true or not true. I think it will be one of those controversial things forever. Uh-huh. But currently, if we look at artificial sweeteners, irrespective of really what type of artificial sweetener, the main purpose really is to provide sweetness to food and beverages without really adding energy to that food. And then obviously, if we look at the diabetic market, and the diabetic would use them not to increase their blood glucose levels. So it's something that tastes sweet in your mouth, but because of the sweetness, it doesn't really contribute a lot of energy. So very, very popular when it comes to slimming market. If you think about diet drinks, maybe even some slimming products out there. So when you look at aspartame, it's 200 times sweeter than sugar.
Uh-huh.
And so it means that it only contains, it's 4 kilocalories per gram in energy, but because it's 200 times sweeter, the amount that you use is so little, so the energy contribution from taking that sweetener is really negligible.
Right.
So that's how they can make like a sugar-free drink or sugar-free cool drink, because although it tastes sweet, the calorie content is minimal.
Okay, so you get the taste, but you don't get the fattening, if I can put it that way, or are diabetic, the negative aspects of sugar.
Yes, because obviously if you are diabetic and you take in sucrose, it's got the ability in the same quantity to increase your glucose levels, mm-hmm. but with aspartame or another artificial sweetener, it does not have the ability to do that.
Okay.
So just to explain a little bit about aspartame, so when it's really made up of natural components, so upon digestion, this specific sweetener basically will be metabolized in other amino acids that's naturally found in foods such as bread and milk and fruit and vegetables that we generally consume in our normal balanced diet.
Uh-huh.
But I think, unfortunately, it's got a negative connotation, the sweetener. So with it being natural, like if I eat milk or bread, the uh-huh. amino acids that come from that might also maybe be phenylalanine or aspartic acid or methanol, the same as that happened to aspartame, but
okay.
unfortunately it's got a negative connotation. So I wanted to share some science that's been research topics on aspartame, because obviously people thought that it might have health problems, also that it a long-term negative effect. And just on that said, there is quantities obviously that is safe to use, and maybe I'll get to that a little bit later. But the one that I want to speak about is epileptic seizures. So people obviously it's got this perception maybe that there's something negative about aspartame, and it says extensive studies have failed to demonstrate an association between epileptic seizures in children and adults of aspartame, even in large doses of 50 milligrams per kilogram, which is obviously an excessive amount. Then a disease like multiple sclerosis, the senior medical advisor of the Multiple Sclerosis Foundation in the USA have reviewed the available scientific evidence and has categorically denied any association between the consumption of aspartame and the disease.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the disease has existed a very long time before aspartame even came onto the market.
Right.
And Then obviously hyperactivity and attention deficit disorder, which is a big thing these days. It's on every mother's lips almost, I think. So just to ease them a little bit, there's several studies in children have shown no relationship between aggressive or hyperactive or cognitive function problems with the consumption of aspartame. So obviously it's for every parent to decide what they would likely to give their children or not to. But I think if there's something with a little bit of sweetener here and there and you're stressed about aspartame, the mother can relax. Small quantity seems not to have any negative effect when it comes to your personality and disorders or something like that.
And I suppose what I've gleaned so far is that it's all about quantity. You know, while there are all kinds of chemicals involved, and I mean, obviously that's too complex to unpack, but it boils down to just don't overdo it.
Yes, so we generally, if I think back to university and textbook thing indications, we would say 10 of these sweetness sachets, you know, like whatever it might be, whether it's Scandal, Pick and Pay, or Spa, or Clicks, doesn't really matter about the brand. But we generally said about 10 of these sachets in a day. And then one of the other references that I got was basically that you can, according to the health organization, you can consume about 0 to 40 milligrams per kilogram per day. So that would mean you would take 2,400 milligrams of aspartame, and that equates to 12 tins of diet drinks. So, which is really quite a large quantity.
Okay.
So you really have to drink quite a lot or consume quite a lot for it to be negative. And then each country has got their own daily intake when it comes to this. So if the health organization has got the 0 to 40 milligrams per kilogram, United States says 3 milligrams per kilogram, Canada says 6 milligrams per kilogram. So I think, again, this is a very personal decision how much you want to include into your daily diet when it comes to the sweetener. Then talking about quantity, so if we look at depressions, headaches, maybe behavioral functions in adults, large doses up to 600 milligrams per day of this sweetener have no effect on the brain psychology or the physiological function or the behavioral function of adults. However, there seems to be a small number of subjects reported that when they consume the sweetener, that they actually felt a little bit more depressed.
Okay.
So again, it shows that every person, it's an individualized thing. Some people might have in small quantities feel maybe gastric upset, or because that's also one thing that people might complain about, to say bloatedness, gastric upset. Obviously, it's about the metabolization of this sweetener. So again, if you feel that you are sensitive as a person, it's a good idea to exclude it from your diet, even though maybe science may say in all of these individuals that it is safe to use. If you feel in a certain way that it affects you negatively, then rather exclude it from your daily diet.
Okay. And just a question. Okay, let's say hypothetically you're unable to have sugar for whatever reason, and you are reacting negatively to aspartame. What else could one use? Or must you just teach your taste buds to not crave for sweet things?
I think in the ideal world, it would be better to train your taste buds not to crave for the sweet things. But I do think there's many other options of sweetness available. So maybe people could try them. Some sweeteners have a combination of aspartame and maybe sucralose or stevia or something like that. But then take them individually and you can sort of try and test and see which one really works for you. I don't think you should say if aspartamine reacts with you this way, sucralose will react in the same matter. So you can definitely try others to see if maybe there's one that you can use.
Mm-hmm. So it's unfortunately a little bit of trial and error find the right product that actually works for you without any negative side effects.
Yes, definitely. And then also very negative media about maybe brain tumors and association with aspartamine, but the Food and Drug Association of America really, they did extensive research and said that there's no evidence to show that it actually has a relationship between how much the consumption of that in brain tumors, whether it is in human or animals. So it seems to be actually, quite frankly, then also safe in that sense.
Yes, yes.
And then I think many pregnant women will ask, you know, is it okay for me to have artificial sweeteners? So I would say yes, but again, rather be conservative with the amount. With aspartamine, there's no really negative influence in correlation to pregnancy and being pregnant. And then people would say, is it really a safe option for a diabetic? Does it have the ability to increase your glucose levels? Mm. So again, no, it does not have the ability to increase your glucose levels. So it won't, it's not supposed to, if you take your rapid test with your glucose, it shouldn't have an influence on your glucose levels. I do think when it comes to diabetics, when it says sugar-free, because of the fact that they've put artificial sweetener into that product, for instance, like aspartamine, be careful, many of these products are quite high in fat. So although it is sugar-free, they put extra fat in there to give it a mouthfeel, to make it a pleasant experience to eat or to consume that specific product. So that's one thing that you must be careful of if you are diabetic. For instance, like there's a sugar-free chocolate, for instance. Sometimes that sugar-free chocolate might even be higher in fat than your normal chocolate.
Okay.
So yeah, be careful of something like that.
And your body would then start doing things with that fat.
Yes, obviously that excess fat that you don't use will be just stored as fat. That's okay. Why it's quite important to double check the labels when it comes to a sugar-free product. Don't necessarily think if it's sugar-free, it's calorie-free, because it's not the truth.
Right, sure. So many almost pitfalls, you know, that you've got to be very, very careful of. And obviously also at the end of the day, read your labels. Especially if you are, you know, if you're a diabetic, or you need to be more particular about what's in the foods that you eat.
And then just a practical tip regarding aspartame is when people want to use it in cooking, quite important that you don't actually eat this sweetener, rather add it at the end. Because if you try to bake with it or boil custard is actually quite a good example. If you make a custard, maybe with custard powder and milk, don't put your sweetener into that and then boil it, because the yeast actually makes it bitter. So rather cook your custard without your sweetener, and then before you consume it, you stir the sweetener in, because then you still get the sweet taste. So this is aspartamine, this is exactly, you should do it when you use this sweetener. Obviously, all the others are different, because you do get the ones that you can cook with that is heat resistant, if I can put it like that, that it doesn't change it comes into contact with heat. So, but with aspartamine, if you try and cook with it, you won't have a pleasant product in the end.
Okay. Because that was actually going to be one of my questions. You know, if you take margarine as an example, some you can cook with and others you can't, because the chemical composition almost changes, which I'm guessing is what might be happening with this as well, that as you heat it and as it gets hot in the cooking process, that it changes its qualities and its chemical composition.
Yes, so definitely with aspartamine, heat removes the sweetness of the sweetener. So use it right at the end.
Okay, well, there's a good tip and something to listen, to check out and to take note of. Just another question, Unetsi. For instance, little children, I would maybe guess don't use these types of things for little children. Are there any dangers? Have any tests or studies been done?
No, so it seems to be quite safe, obviously, for human consumption. But I think for any mother, if you can actually raise your child as natural as possible, without trying to go to process things or sweeten things, it's always the better option to do it that way than to expose a small child to something like that, in my opinion. But obviously each for its own, it seems to be okay.
It makes sense, though. You know, you don't want to start putting all kinds of chemicals in for whatever reason one might have. It was just a thought, as to what...
And also, it's important if you have small children and they still learn to eat, that they actually taste the food in its natural state.
Yes.
So if you boil vegetables, and especially if you start feeding your solid foods in a child, start with vegetables and try to boil them in water only, and don't put salt, don't put sugar. So that the child can learn what that vegetable tastes like, and the same with fruit, what the food in its natural state tastes like. Because I think then forward in life, your success story about eating healthy, proper, wholesome food, your success story will be bigger if you do it like that.
Right,
if the taste buds get sensitized with salt and sweetness and sugar, how on earth would your child ever know what pumpkin tastes like? So for me, it's quite important. If a mother asked me, I would always say, start with vegetables first. Teach your child to eat it from the water. Don't add sugar. Don't add salt. Then follow up with fruit. Because obviously also if you start with fruit first, your child has
sort of
brain perception of it's sweet.
Yeah.
So rather start with the stuff that is maybe bland. Oh, and all vegetables, if you don't overcook them, has got their own flavor and sweetness of their own, that you actually don't need anything else. I think like carrots, butternut, and naturally sweet vegetables and a sweet potato, you can easily boil those things soft and have your child eat that without spoiling it with salt and sugar or other flavorings, just because we think you need to have some other seasoning.
Yeah.
It doesn't really mean that you have to. Your child knows that. Your child doesn't know what sweet potato tastes like. That's quite an important concept.
And so if I can maybe quote a technological term, make that the default setting. Because if that's the default setting, they won't know any different. Because that is what they gauge it against. It makes a whole lot of sense.
I always... use my daughter as an example. Like, she literally grew up with vegetables out of the water. And if you put anything in front of her today, she would prefer vegetables and food clean, without sauce, without just because she likes it in the natural way. So a very good habit to try and teach your children if you've got the opportunity to do that.
Right, straight from the word go. Well, there's some good advice. Unetsi, unfortunately, we're starting to run out of time. But before we do, if somebody wants to get in touch with you and find out more about your services as a nutritionist, how do they go about it?
More than welcome to contact me on 084-609-3989, or they can find me on Instagram at Unetsi.
Great. At Unetsi, thanks very, very much, and we'll chat again next week.
Thanks so much, Wayne.
Cheers then, Unetsi. Bye-bye. That's Unetsi with today's Nutrition Chat.